Abbas, let's take a look together at the bottom of Beis and Beis Zakta Gemara. Meisve. We're continuing to look for Rayas. We're continuing to look for Hochachos about the word Or. So far we found one. We're about to find a second one. Meisve. Ein Masir Masuas El Alachoda Shanirim Bismano Lakacho. You hoist the torches. You can only hoist the torches if the chodesh was nira bizmano. What does that mean? So you go back. This is a brisa, as you saw. The source of this brisa. This brisa appears first in Maseches Rosh Hashanah in the context of a Mishnah. They tell you on the side that it's a tosefta. I mean, look in Rosh Hashanah. Chavez mebez. You see, it's a tosefta. In Rosh Hashanah, it's a Tosefta in Maseches Megillah. So what's the context? You saw a Mishnah. The Mishnah, the second parak, Chavez Mebez, is talking about the process of Kiddush HaChodesh. The Mishnah is talking that the topic that begins in the middle of the first parak of Rosh Hashanah, the monthly process of how until around 1600 years ago, Rosh Chodesh was decided in live time by the Beis Nagadol Yerushalayim. The Sanhedrin Nagadol would every month determine when Rosh Chodesh would be. The Rambam gives some more background, organizing different makoros from the Gemara, the beginning of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. The month is meant to correspond to the moon, based on the psukim. The year is meant to correspond to the sun, and the month is meant to correspond to the moon. So how long is, because the cycle of the earth around the sun, the cycle of the seasons is a year long, around 365 and a quarter days, and the cycle of the moon around the earth, the cycle of the lunar phases, the new moon that goes to full, it disappears and starts again, that's 29 and a half days long. That's how approximately. That's how long the cycle is. But the Gemara Darshan from Sukkim, you cannot start Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the day. Chodashim come in units of months, come in units of days. That's why every month is going to be either 29 days or 30 days. So it's going to average out to approximately 29 and a half days. So how do you know whether any given month is 29 days or 30 days? So the answer is, as the Mishnah is described in the first two prakim of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, if people see the new moon right after Shkia, that's when the new moon is visible. It's only visible right after Shkia because at the beginning of the month, the moon sets very soon after the sun sets. That's exactly why it's a new moon. The moon is right next to the sun. So you have a couple minutes after Shkia to see the new sliver. So if someone sees it, depending on the layout of the month, so sometimes it'll be easily visible to hundreds to thousands of people in the area of Yerushalayim, and sometimes it'll just be visible to a couple of people. It has to do with exactly when the moon sets, exactly how new the moon is at sunset time. It has to do with the clouds, it has to do with the weather. So sometimes there'll be hundreds or thousands of people who see the new moon. Sometimes there'll just be a handful. Sometimes there's nothing to see. So we know that if you saw the new moon, you travel to the Beis Nagadol in Yerushalayim. If you're close enough to Yerushalayim, then you could get there in time for Beis Nagadol to do something, to get there tomorrow. You could get there, start traveling tonight, you'll arrive there tomorrow. So you travel to Yerushalayim. Mishnayos say that's the mucker for free food. They would give out free food to everyone who showed up. That would encourage some months you have thousands of people showing up. And some months, because of the way the layout was, the timing, the layout, there'll only be a handful of people who see the moon in the radius around Yerushalayim, of the area where people could make it there in time. So you always want to encourage people to come. So the Mishnayos say there was free fleishiks for everyone who came, free duggies, his original free duggies, free pizza, I don't know, milchus or fleishiks. The suit is gedolos, Mishnayos was fleishiks. So that would always encourage people to come. That way, those months when we needed every eligible aid. So they would be sure to show up, and then Beis Din would do a Kabbalah Seidus. And if you have valid Eidus that last night, on a Monday morning, on a Monday afternoon, let's say a Monday morning, we'll keep it simple. On a Monday morning, Eidim show up and say, last night, what we call Sunday evening, right after sunset, we saw the moon, two Eidim show up and everything corroborates. They say, okay, so that means today is Rosh Chodesh. Boom. Today is Rosh Chodesh. If not, then tomorrow will be Rosh Chodesh. There are only two options, again, because every month is either 29 days or 30 days. The actual lunar cycle is 29 and a half days approximately. So every month is either 29 or 30. In other words, if I know that based on last Rosh Chodesh, that Sunday, let's imagine, let's say today's Sunday, let's imagine today was the 29th. So either tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh or the next day will be Rosh Chodesh. Either it'll be a 30-day month or it'll be a 29-day month. Either tomorrow will be the first of the month, Monday, or Tuesday. So what's going to determine it? What will determine it is, do any Eidim see the moon tonight? Right after sunset. Let's see if Eidim see the moon. They show it to Beis Din tomorrow. The Beis Din say, okay, we have valid Eidus, Mekudesh HaChodesh. Monday is Rosh Chodesh. If not, then Tuesday will be Rosh Chodesh. So if Monday is Rosh Chodesh, and that's the 29th, the previous month was the 29-day month, if they have to wait until Tuesday, then the previous month goes till Monday. It's a 30-day month. In the previous mission already mentions that at some point there was an issue with who's allowed to say Eidus. That's the Mishnah of Beis Din Alf. Who's allowed to say, in the olden days, anyone who showed up who seemed like a kosher aid, we accepted him. And then at a certain point, they needed verification. They had to add two-factor verification. It was no longer like in the old days. Mishakilkulu haminim. The camp point, we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. The camp point where there was more of a security concern, they couldn't just believe anyone who showed up and said, I saw the moon. So here the Mishnah opens, the Mishnah Chav Beis, and Beis, the Mishnah about the torches, again opens up with that same Bari Shona. In the olden days, Hayumasiyan Masuos, they used to hoist the torches. And once again, the Mishnah is Mishakilkul Akusim. When the Kusim started making trouble, they needed the Shluchim. But let's focus first on the Masi and Masuas. What's this all about? The Mishnah says, Chavez and Beis, you saw, the Mishnah describes they would have these very elaborate, big torches, big pole dowels of wood, those sorts of flammable stuff on the end, flammable wood and flax, oily, and you would wave the torch on top of the mountaintop. Why are you waving the torch on top of the mountaintop? So the Mishnah explains, they had a whole chain. They started Mehar HaMishcha. The first mountain in this chain was Har HaZeisim, which is right near Yerushalayim. So Beis Din was Mekadesh LeChodesh. So they send someone the following evening. Well, let's see when it is. Mishra doesn't say. They would send someone up Har HaZeisim, right outside Yerushalayim, to go wave a torch. And there's someone waiting on the next mountaintop. Sartava is the next mountain. That's, I believe, up in the Shomron, north of Yerushalayim, north a little bit to the east. And there's a fellow on Sarta with a torch waiting. He hasn't lit it yet. And if he sees that the fellow on Haraz, there's a torch waving at Haraz Esim, so then the fellow on the second mountain lights his torch, and he starts waving. And then the fellow on the Grofina, the third mountain, further north, and then Chavra, and then Beis Biltin. Each one would wait. Each one would wait for the torch to wave, and if you see that the fellow that the one before you starts waving his torch, you start waving also. And the Mishnah says, a molechu mevi malo mor. It's almost like nanuim, up and down to all sides. The way you do tenufa on a carbon, the way you do nanuim on a lulav, that's the way the shluchei Beis Din would wave the torches. Tosus explains, a very practical concern. That to be a very specific pattern, so you knew that it was a torch. That's what Tosfos says in Tibas Molech, Rosh Hashanah Chav Beis Din Beis. Kedei Shlo Yitu Lomar Shu Kochav. You don't want to think that it's a star or a planet near the horizon. You want to make sure that's actually a torch. So if you see a specific pattern, up, down, left, right, then it was distinctively a torch. Now, can't you tell the difference between a torch and a star? The answer is, well, yes, if you're nearby. The whole point was that from each mountain to the next was tens of miles. The idea was that the information traveled very quickly. It traveled at almost the speed of light. And the fellow goes up Har HaZeisim, he starts waving his torch, and in less than a minute, in seconds, the next torch goes up, 20, 30 miles north, and then a minute or a few seconds later, the third torch goes up, another 20, 30 miles, and within a course of a handful of minutes, information spread hundreds and hundreds of miles from Yerushalayim, where the Sanhedrin HaGadol had decided to Mekadesh the Chodesh, all the way to Bavel, where most of the Jews were. Which means that the Jews in Bavel knew almost instantly when it was Rosh Chodesh. They knew that night. They knew right away. Which means that there was no what? What did they not have in Bavel at this point in time?
Bezdin.
Right, the Bezdin was Yerushalayim, correct. Bezdin was Yerushalayim. The Bezdin was not in Bezdin was not in Bavel. And despite the fact that there was no Bezdin in Bavel that was determining when Rosh Chodesh was, they still did not have a Suffolk. It went right because correct. Because there was no Smicha in Bavel, that's why. Well, that's not the only reason why. It is a good point that you can't confer Smicha in Bavel. But the din happens to be, Rambam, the end of Hilchus, Paragraph Hilchus, Kiddush HaChodesh, quotes from the Gemaras, that there's a separate din, that Kiddush HaChodesh is supposed to take place in Eretz Yisrael, unless the greatest Gadol Adar is in Chutz La'aretz. But normally, if Hiniach Kamosa Ba'aretz, then it has to happen in Eretz Yisrael. Why is a good question? Not for now. It speaks to an additional aspect of Eretz Yisrael. It's not agricultural. It may have to do with the communal aspect of Eretz Yisrael. Be that as it may, whenever it's possible, Kiddush HaChodesh has to take place in Eretz Yisrael. But there was no Sveika D'Yom Rabosai. Within minutes, the information traveled from Yerushalayim to Bavel, from Yerushalayim to Sur Naharda and Pumpadisa. Right, the Mishnah says that when they began to see it, the people in Bavel began to wave torches. That's how the Mishnah ends. The fell on the last mountain, and Beis Biltin, he would keep Bimoloch Umevi Achayuroa Kol HaGolot from Kimdurus Eish until the whole area of Bava looked like an arc of fire because people would come out and start waving torches. It went very quickly. This is during the first few centuries of the Bayis Sheni. During the Bayis Rishon period, the Jews all lived, presumably, in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael and Eva Yarden, there was no need to get the information to Bava. But then they go into Galus Bavel. When they went to Galus Bavel, they were Mekadesh the Chodesh in Bavel because the greatest Talmid Chacham were in Bavel. Once they came back for the Bayis Sheni, so they reestablished Sanhedrin, say for Ezra Nechemiah, they reestablished Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael. But as the Psukim tell us in Ezra Nechemiah, most of the Jews are still in Bavel. So we're going to Mekadesh the Chodesh here. How are we going to let them know about Kiddush HaChodesh? So the answer is they developed this whole system of torches, which seems to have been in use probably for the, let's say, roughly perhaps the first half of the Tkufas Bayis Sheni. We're not sure exactly how long, but that was the original plan. Well, plan A was all the Jews are in and around Eretz Yisrael during the Bayis Rishon period. Plan B is we're all in Bavel, in Mekadesh HaChodesh there. And they come back, stage C, come back during the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period, the Mekadesh HaChodesh and Yerushalayim, the information can be spread almost instantaneously to Bavel. No Sveika D'Yoma. Long before Pesach shows up, everyone in Bavel knew which day was Rosh Chodesh, whether Rosh Chodesh was Monday or Tuesday, whether Rosh Chodesh was Wednesday or Thursday. There was no Sveika D'Yoma. There was no Sveika D'Yoma. The reason why they developed, whether the Sveika D'Yoma ultimately developed, is because of that second line in the Mishnah. The Kusim started making trouble. That's when they needed to send out messengers, send out shluchim. There was a change. Sometime during the Bayis Sheni period, they stopped communicating via torches and started communicating via riders. They're riding horses, ponies, donkeys, camels, whatever it was. But they had they sent out riders to send the information, which is obviously much slower, much less efficient. It's going to take a matter of days and weeks rather than a matter of seconds and minutes for the information to spread. It's not going to spread at the speed of light. But the reason why is because the Kusim and the the Kusim and the Tzedukim, they were trying to throw it off. Tosis gives you a little bit more, Lahatos is Chacham, and Tosis gives you a little more of the background. That the Gemara says in Maseches Menachos, Samche Samchvav, Mishnayos tell us that the Korban HaOmer and the beginning of Sefiras HaOmer is supposed to take place the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. And therefore, 7 weeks later is Shavuos. That's why Shavuos is always 1 day of the week after the first day of Pesach. If Pesach is, let's say this year Pesach is going to be, first day of Pesach is going to be Sunday, so we're going to start counting Sefiras HaOmer Sunday night, Monday. So Shavuos is going to be Monday. The Tzedukim didn't believe in that. They were Apikursim who rejected the Torah Sheba'al Peh, and they wanted to develop their own interpretation of the Torah Shebachzav. So if the Torah says, Mimachras HaShabbos, you start Ketziras, you begin the Sefiras HaOmer, Mimachras HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos, they rejected the interpretation of Moshe Mitzrayim, that it means the day after the first day of Yom Tov. They said, no, it means the day after Saturday, the day after Shabbos Bereishis. So they always wanted Ketziras HaOmer to be on a Sunday, and Shavuos should be on a Sunday. Part of the reason why Sunday is so significant to Christians. The Pentecost is Penta. That's 50 days. The Chag HaChamishim, that's the Christian distortion, the Tzeduki distortion of Shavuos. That's always on a Sunday. The Christians are heirs to the Tzedukim in several ways. So the Tzedukim tried to manipulate. This is the original fake news, both on the input end and on the output end. The previous Mishnah said sometimes they would send Edim to Beis Din and say, we saw the moon when we didn't, to make Rosh Chodesh earlier than it's supposed to be. And sometimes on the output end, that's this Mishnah, Chabez Mabez, they would, Beis Din had not yet been Mekadesh the Chodesh, but the Tzedukim would go up on the mountaintop and start waving torches. So for instance, Tosis gives
matters into their own hands.
Exactly. Literally. Very good. Figuratively and literally. And so Tosa said, let's say, for instance, this coming year, we anticipate that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be on a Sunday, and therefore Pesach, 2 weeks later, is going to start on a Sunday. We'll have Erev Pesach on a Shabbos, all the unique dinim that carries with it. But they didn't want that. They wanted the first day Pesach to be on a Shabbos, so that Shavuos would be on a Sunday. So in such a year, they would go up and start with the torches to make people think Rosh Chodesh was Shabbos instead of Sunday. So everyone would be keeping Pesach on Shabbos instead of Sunday. So they'd be keeping Shavuos on a Sunday. So that was the fake news of the Kusim, of the Tzedukim, the Baitusim, these groups. And that's why the Chazal had to switch from the torches to the shluchim, where obviously it's far less efficient time-wise, but it's possible to authenticate. Again, the other Tosis and Moloch point out, you can't tell who's waving the torch. You can't even tell that it is a torch, if not for the fact they're Moloch Humevi. If they were Moloch Humevi, I could even think it's a star. Who knows, some sort of light. What do I know? I certainly can't see who the fellow is. So the torches, the Masin Masuas, it's incredibly efficient, but not at all verifiable. You can't authenticate who's waving the torch. When you have a shliach actually arrive in the town and tell the rabbanim in town, either he has a signed letter from the Beis Din, or they just recognize, we know this shliach, we know him, he's the one who comes every month. So now I can verify. But what you gain in verification, you lose in efficiency. Once you rely on shluchim, it's going to take days and sometimes weeks for the shluchim to travel all the way from Yishalayim, hundreds and hundreds of miles across the Fertile Crescent to get to Bavel. That's very long. They often will take them more than 2 weeks to arrive. So they're not going to arrive. We won't know when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was until after Pesach started. And this Mishnah is the source of Sveika Dioma. The whole idea of Sveika Dioma, that whole reality, is all based in this Mishnah. They originally, during the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, appeared Masin and Masuos, and there was no issue. There was no issue. Everyone knew within a very brief period of time when Rosh Chodesh was. And one, Mishkilkulu Aminim, they had to switch over to Shluchim. And at that point, they would no longer know by the middle of the week, by the middle of the month. We're no longer know by Sukkot when which day is the first day of Sukkot. No longer know by Pesach which day is the first day of Pesach, because we don't know, did they make Rosh Chodesh Shabbos or Sunday? Did they make Rosh Chodesh Wednesday or Thursday? So that's why we have to start keeping 2 days of Yom Tov. Now, I keep being vague about exactly how long it took the information to travel. Because when they, back in the old days, there were Masiyim Masuos, because that's exactly what our sugya is wondering about. When did they find out? And that's what the Braisa picks up here. The Braisa on this Gemara, the bottom of Chavez Mebez Rosh Hashanah, which gets quoted in Psachim as well, Ein Masiyim Masuos El Alchol Shanir Bezmano Likadsho. You're only Masiyim Masuos if the month was visible on time to be Mekadosh it. What does that mean? So the Braisa goes on to explain, the Gemara, excuse me, goes on to explain here, Achaser Avdinan Amalei Lo Avdinan. What that means, you're only Masiyim Masuos if it's near Bezman Lekadsho. What that means is, we said, right, that any given month can either be 29 days or 30 days. So once again, using the example we gave earlier in this year. So let's imagine, today is not the 29th of the month, but let's imagine that it was. Today is Sunday, imagine today was the 29th of the month. So this month will either have 29 days, which means tonight, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Tonight, tomorrow is the first of the next month. Or, once we use our imagination, let's imagine it's nice and warm. So let's imagine that tonight is the 29th of the year. Gavaldik, today's the 29th of the year. Sunday, the 29th of the year, let's imagine. So, either tomorrow will be Aleph Sivan, or tomorrow will be Lamed Iyar, and then Tuesday will be Aleph Sivan. So what does that depend on? What would make tomorrow Aleph Iyar? Aleph Sivan, excuse me. Well, what would make tonight and tomorrow Rosh Chodesh? What would we have to see tonight? That's right, the new moon. We have to see the new moon tonight. If we see the new moon tonight, Leil Lamed, so that makes it into Rosh, that tomorrow Beis Din can declare as Rosh Chodesh. If we don't see the moon tonight, then it's just going to remain Lamed, and then Tuesday will become Rosh Chodesh. So if the moon was seen tonight, so then Masin Masuos, that's what the Braisa means. If it turns out to be a Chodesh Chaser Avdinan, for Chodesh Chaser we do the Masin Masuos. For Chodesh Male, if this month is going to be a 30-day month, and the second option is going to become Tuesday will be Rosh Chodesh instead of Monday. They were not Masiyim. And so the Gemara has a long discussion about why that was a system. Why that was a system. But when would they, let's say they're going to make Rosh Chodesh tonight, tomorrow. When are they going to wave the torches? When do they wave the torches? So the Braisa said, "A Masai Masiyim la'or iburo." When do they wave the torches? At the R of the Ibur. At the Or of the Ebor. What does that mean? So Rashi in Psachim is a little bit confusing. Rashi in Rosh Hashanah is a little bit clearer. There's some girsa issues in Rashi in Psachim. Rashi in Rosh Hashanah says, La'or Ebor le'erev yom shloshim nagi lamed aleph. What does that mean? The evening of the day of 30, the eve of 31. It's a fancy way of saying the night between 30 and 31. It's always, right? We use the word Sunday night to mean tonight, even though in halacha tonight is Monday. And last night would have been Sunday night. We call last night, Matzah Shabbos. Good thing to call it. But in halacha we also could call it Leil Rishon, Sunday night. It's always a little confusing. What do you call the night? Night between the 2 days. We know today is Sunday, we know tomorrow is Monday. Or in our example, we know today is Chavtes and tomorrow is Lamed. What's tonight called? The upcoming night? Say, it's the night in between 29 and 30. Le'erev yom chavtes nagi lamed. So Rashi said, when would you wave the torches? Le'erev yom lamed nagi lamed aleph. The night between lamed and lamed aleph, meaning tomorrow night, Monday night. If they declare Rosh Chodesh tomorrow, then tomorrow night is when they would wave the torches. Why not tonight? Why wouldn't they wave the torches tonight? Think. That's the Cheshbon. If they'll see the Chodesh tonight, and the Beis Din was going to meet Bayom tomorrow and declare Rosh Chodesh, So we can't wave torches tonight. It's too early. Beis Din hasn't made that declaration, determination yet. Make the determination by Yom. Edom see the Chodesh Balayla. They start traveling. Beis Din meets by Yom, as they usually do. Yom Lamed. They're going to say, oh, today is Rosh Chodesh. You thought today is Lamed. No. Makudesh. It's actually Aleph. It's not Lamed. It's Aleph Sivan. And then that night, the following evening, they wave torches. The following evening, they wave torches. He says, Yom Iburo, Yom Shloshim, Kari Yom Iburo. The added day, tomorrow, which could either be day 30 of the previous month or not, that's called the Yom HaIbur. That's called the Yom HaIbur. So the Or HaIbur is the evening following what would have been day 30. So coming back to our Gemara, the Gemara quotes this Braisa. E masa masi masu is the Or Iburo. Alma Or Urtahu. So what do you see? That Or means evening. How do you know you don't wave the torch during the, maybe you wave the torch Monday day? How do you know you wave the torch Monday night? So what does Rashi say? That's easy. Rashi says, the whole point of these torches, you can see them 20, 30, 40 miles away. That's not going to work in the middle of the day. That, going back to what we learned in the Tzeis HaKochavim Sugya. You can't see the sun, the stars during the day. You're not going to see a torch from miles away during the day. But at night, you're going to. So if they're going to, if Edom, valid Edom will see the moon tonight, what would have been the night of the 30th, and tomorrow Beis Din says, this is not the 30th, it's actually Rosh Chodesh. It's the first day of Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the new month. So then the following evening, which is Beis, Leil Beis Sivan, Leil Beis Tammuz, Leil Beis Kislev, the evening of the second day, that's when the torches get waved. So in other words, you go out on that night, Monday night, right? Everyone knows that Sunday is 29. And therefore, everyone knows either Monday, Rosh Chodesh will be Monday, or Rosh Chodesh will be Tuesday. So everyone goes out that night, which is either going to be Beis or Aleph, Monday night, and everyone's on their mountaintops waiting to see will there be a torch waved or not. If you see the torches go, then you know that tonight is Beis. You know they were Mekadesh Monday, and if you don't see torches, you know that means that we're not Mekadesh Monday, so by default, tonight must be Rosh Chodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, Tuesday is Rosh Chodesh. That's how the Masiyah Masuos worked. And here's one other fascinating totsah of appreciating this aspect of the sugya. Our sugya, just highlighted, no pun intended there, that the Masiyah Masuos, which the Braisa says was La'or Iburo, it doesn't mean that they waved the Masuos on Yom Lamed. It was actually the evening after Lamed. Right? Because La'or Iburo, the Gemara's second Raya, that Or means night, La'or Iburo, the night following the Ibur. It can't be the night, it can't be tonight, it can't be Sunday night, Le'a Lamed, it's too early. Beis Din hasn't even determined it yet. You could have imagined that they were hoisting the torches, waving the torches on Yom Lamed, on Monday day. But our Gemara says it can't be. Or has to mean, in this context, night, because you can't see the torches. The whole point of the torches is it was 20, 30, 40 miles from one mountain to the next. So it must be they're waving the torches, or meaning night. But which night? Leil Beis. So you know what that means, Rabbi Osai? What that means is the following. What that means is the following. Let's just spend a couple of moments on something that we might have taken for granted. When you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh, right? And that 2 days happens around half the time. You have 2 days Rosh Chodesh. So which day is really Rosh Chodesh? Meaning, if 2 days Rosh Chodesh, right, so obviously the second one. Now, when I say which day is really Rosh Chodesh, you could have fired back. Someone said correct. Shimon said second one. Correct. You could have fired back. What do you mean which one is the real Rosh Chodesh? They're both Rosh Chodesh. Are they? What does it mean to have 2 days Rosh Chodesh? So we all know, but there's actually something that discussed in Sarim. Well, you count when it's 2 days Rosh Chodesh, which day did you count the days of the month from? The answer is the second one, right? The first day of Rosh Chodesh is Lamed. The second day of Rosh Chodesh is Aleph of the upcoming month. Where does that come from? Well, we just sort of take it for granted. That's what we've been assuming since we were little. But if they're both Rosh Chodesh, why do you count from the second one? I don't know. Why do I count from the first one? 2 days Rosh Chodesh. So I explained to you before, when we got started, the way the Rambam begins his presentation, the beginning of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, the whole point is that the Chodesh has to be, some Chodesh will be 30 days long, some Chodesh will be 29 days long. Because astronomically, a month is around 29 and a half, so you average out half the time, around half the time it's 29, around half the time it's 30. But then the flip question is, well, then why they both were Chodesh? So the notion that when there are 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, it's the second one is the real one. I mean, we count from the second one. That actually comes from a sugya in Nedarim. Back to the world of B'Nedarim Halacha Acher Lashon Bnei Adam. The opening Mishnah in the eighth parak on Daf Samach Amud Aleph. The Mishnah wants to know. And the Mishnah says, let's say a guy takes a neder. He's not going to do something. Not going to have hana. He's not going to eat any apples for this entire week. So when does the week end? The Mishnah says, Shabbos. He's usher to eat apples all the way up until and including Shabbos, because Shabbos is part of this week. That's what the Mishnah says. Shabbos is part of the preceding week. So Matzah Shabbos, he's allowed to eat apples again. But let's say he takes a neder this month. This month he takes a neder not to eat any apples. So till the end of the month. Bahaba Rosh Chodesh. Mishnah says, Rosh Chodesh Lahaba. Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is already part of the next month. So he can't eat apples up until Chavtes, but Rosh Chodesh is already Mutter, because Rosh Chodesh is part of the next month. So the Gemara says, well, that's pretty obvious. The Gemara Daf Samach Beis says, Pshita. So the Gemara says, the way most Rishon, the Ran, and most of the others understand this Gemara, it's no. Even if there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh, you're already allowed to eat apples on the first day of Rosh Chodesh. Really? So he's in the middle of, the fellow's in the middle of the month of Nisan. And he says he's not going to eat apples for the entire month. So the Gemara says, when the first day of Rosh Chodesh year comes, is he really allowed to eat apples? Aye, but the first day of Rosh Chodesh is Lamed. It's Lamed. It's Lamed Nisan. So the Gemara says, Kamashma, Gemara says, that's a good point, but Kamashma, Karu Inshe Resh Yarcha, people call it Rosh Chodesh. In other words, Belashin B'nei Adam. People call it Rosh Chodesh. That's the way people use the language, even though the implication of the Gemara is Al Pi Din, the first day of Rosh Chodesh is a part of the preceding month. And that's why the Ran and the Baal HaTosfos talk about how do you write a shtar on the first day of Rosh Chodesh. So you have to, our practice, you say both. You say it's Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon, which is the second, eighth, is Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, which is the 30th day of Adar Rishon. Okay, we make it clear. But the Gemara is highlighting Alpia. People think of the first day as Rosh Chodesh, while Pia Halacha is really the last day of the preceding month, which of course raises the question: so why do we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh? Why do we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh? In Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Laaretz, everywhere. So the Rambam has a complicated answer. If you want, you can take a look in Parakhes Halacha Dalad of Kiddush HaChodesh. But let me leave you with a simple answer, which emerges from the Brisa and Rosh Hashanah, and specifically what our sugya adds. When did they wave the torches, Rabbi Oshlai? The Mishnah Rashana says they waved torches in the olden days. Tlai Avon when Rosh Chodesh was. And when did they wave them? So the Brisa says, La'ori Buro. Our sugyim, Psachim, Davez, Neves, La'ori Buro means the night. The night of which? The night, not the night of Aleph, the night of Beis. They would wave torches tomorrow night, Monday night, to say that tonight and tomorrow, that Monday was Rosh Chodesh. Meaning, no one ever knew when Rosh Chodesh was outside of Yerushalayim until it was over. When you saw the torches, it didn't tell you it's Rosh Chodesh now. Saying that seeing the torches meant, Rosh Chodesh is over. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. You never knew about Rosh Chodesh until it was over. So everyone always kept the first day of Rosh Chodesh misafik. Even before Sveika D'Yoma, for Pesach and Sukkot, everyone was keeping Sveika D'Yoma for Rosh Chodesh. As a matter of fact, even if you were in Yerushalayim, they didn't decide Rosh Chodesh until during the day. So the night and the beginning of the day was always Rosh Chodesh mi Safek, the day 30. And more so, if you live beyond Rosh, if you live beyond Yerushalayim and the immediate environment of Yerushalayim, even before the Shluchim Yotzim, before that, the latter half of the Bayis Sheni, when they had real Sveikad Yoma issues that lasted for days and weeks, but it didn't really take minutes to finish it out. It took a few hours. Because Beis Din HaGadol would decide sometime during the day, but they would only do the torches at night. That's when the torches would be visible. So they waited a few hours until it got dark, and then they did the torches. By that point, they were telling them old, not fake news, but old news. They were telling them, you should know that today, the preceding day was Rosh Chodesh. You're seeing the torches tonight. That means tonight is the second day of the month. If you don't see the torches tonight, then you know that tonight, that yesterday was 30, and tonight is 1. So in Yerushalayim, no one knew it was Rosh Chodesh, if it was going to be a one-day Rosh Chodesh or not. In other words, everyone kept the first possible day of Rosh Chodesh Misafik, at least for the beginning of it, and most people kept the entire first day Misafik. And that perhaps is the simple reason why, whenever it's a Chodesh Male, we still keep the first day as Rosh Chodesh. In the Mikdash, and certainly beyond the Mikdash. Okay, so this is a little bit of what's going on in the background and some of the what we come away from our sugi with of Masi and Masuos, and Mikdash Shem tomorrow. We'll go on to Kishdaim Raglaim, we'll go on to the Din of Yoledes. A lot in Mitzvah Shem coming up.